This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Jesus Christ, right? He is our rest. And because he has completed the work of salvation, the atonement of the sins, he sacrificed his own life, he can now sit in the heavenly holy of holies. And because he rests, we rest. You see, because the work is done. It is completed, the work of the cross.
If you've ever read the book of Leviticus, you were probably overwhelmed by all the different laws that the Israelites had to keep. There were so many different sacrifices to make, so many things they couldn't eat, and so many things that made them unclean. Thankfully, we don't have to follow those laws anymore because of Jesus. Today, Pastor Eddie teaches that you can have rest because Jesus completed all the requirements for you. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. As he begins his message, Jesus, High Priest of a Better Covenant.
Hebrews chapter 8, we're going to read the whole chapter and then we'll go over it verse by verse. Hebrews chapter 8. The writer of Hebrews writes this, "Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne, the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy, a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. But he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.' But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on a better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach their neighbor and none of his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more.' In that he says, 'A new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.'" In Hebrews chapter 8, since there the priesthood has changed, the law has changed, the priesthood came from another tribe, so too the place in which the priest serves. It's going to speak about the tabernacle, the temple in which he served, and also, more importantly and finally, a new covenant, a new covenant. And so, for those of you who are taking notes, in verses 1 through 6, we'll see a new priestly service in a new location, a new priestly service. And then in verses 7 through 13, we're going to see a better covenant, which is the new covenant. Well, we read the text. Let us now study a text verse by verse. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. It says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. After the writer, in the past 7 chapters, we've studied it from, you know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. There he pointed out that Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than the prophets. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Joshua. He's a greater rest, and he's a greater promise. Now we see that he's getting to the main point that Jesus is the great high priest. And he gets to the main point, to his main thesis of the letter. Notice the word, before we go any further, the word we here, it mentions when he says we, the writer, who we don't know who the writer is. So there's speculations as to who the writer of Hebrews is. Obviously, there are other Jews, Jewish believers, who were with the writer, who was also Jewish and had found their faith in Jesus Christ. Then later on, we'll see he'll give us the we again. He's not speaking French, by the way. He's including everyone that's in agreement that Christ is the great high priest. And just as we, you and I, we know and we believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is the great high priest. So in verse 1, it says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is seated. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Well, we looked at the Levitical priesthood. We saw the law. We saw all the sacrifice the priest had to make, had to perform according to the law. Now he turns our attention from the earthly priesthood, man, the earthly tabernacle, and he turns our attention to the high priest who is where? Seated in the heavens. And that's what we're looking at. Every day, that's where our focus is in heaven. The good thing is that God is not only in heaven, he's in our hearts. And so, but now he turns our attention to the great high priest who is seated at the right hand of the majesty of Most High. Now, right hand speaks of position of honor, of power, and of authority. And Jesus is seated right next to the majesty Most High, speaking of God the Father, a place of honor. That's where he is right now. But Jesus don't think that he's just there sitting. What is he doing? We discovered that Jesus is forever interceding for us. He's praying for you and I right now. Since before when you were born, came out of your womb, you know, Christ has been interceding for us. And even when you didn't know him, scripture says, even though when we're yet still sinners, he still loved us. He's been praying that you come to him, have a relationship with him. And he's always interceding, but he also stands. If you remember when Stephen was being stoned to death in the book of Acts, and he said, I see the Lord standing in heaven. So Christ stands when he needs to. And I don't think he needs to stand to stretch his legs like quite often I do. You know, as you get older, no, he stands. But his position, where he is as the great high priest, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So with the Levitical priesthood that was here on earth, every high priest from Aaron, the very first high priest, all the way up to the last priest in the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, all stood. They never sat down in the Holy of Holies. When they enter into the holy place and even to the Holy of Holies, they always stood. They had to stand. Later on, the writer of Hebrews is going to further explain that aspect of the high priest. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 12, he writes this, but every priest stands, ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, he's speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You see, the Levitical priesthood from Aaron until the very last, when they went into the Holy of Holies, none of them ever, ever sat down. In fact, when you read in Exodus, for you students, you want to take, go home and find out God giving Moses at the mountain in Mount Sinai. The Lord gave Moses instructions in how to build a tabernacle. And that's in Exodus from chapters 25 to chapter 31. Exodus chapter 25 to chapter 31. And there the Lord gave Moses instructions how to build the temple, even the furnishings of the temple. However, when you look at the furnishings of the temple, the Lord never gave Moses instruction to build a chair. A chair was not to be in the tabernacle. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I grew up where, you know, you go to churches and you have all the important people sitting on the stage. You know, I never really appreciated that. I didn't even know the Bible verse, but I say, wait a minute, there wasn't, you know, in the temple, you know, people exalt themselves, you know, and they sit up there, okay, and they're watching everybody worship. It really wasn't good. But there was never a chair. And when we think about chair, what do we think of? We think about resting. Resting. We think about rest. However, the high priest, when he performed his priestly duty, he never sat down. There was no reason for a chair because there wasn't rest. He's ministering daily, offering repeated sacrifice for the atoning of sins for the people and for himself. He had to do daily, but once a year, he had to do it for the nation. And there was no rest. As a matter of fact, there was a great fear in their hearts when they went into the Holy of Holies once a year. Some tradition said that the high priest, they would tie a rope at his ankle because if he fell, he wasn't right before the Lord because he had to sacrifice every day, atone for it. Many a times they would stay in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, for weeks. Why? They don't want to sin for that day when they have to atone for the sins of the world. They don't want to fall into sin. They don't want to fight over their neighbor because their camel crashed into the other camel. They didn't want to argue with it. They didn't want any of that. They wanted to be pure in heart when they go into the Holy of Holies. They wanted to be ready. They didn't want to sin. But if they sinned, they would die if they weren't right with God. And what they would do is when they hear a thump, oh, Menachem is down. We need another high priest. So they had to drag him because if they went in and got him, they too would die. But when he went in there, there wasn't even a rest. I don't think who would want to sit down with such fear. You go into the Holy of Holies and there it is, the Ark of the Covenant, the seat of God. There was no rest. And if the high priest, here's the point about this rest. If the high priest cannot rest himself, how can he be a rest for the people? You see? And so there's a difference. He can't provide rest for himself. Yet how can he provide rest for the rest of the people? However, we look to Jesus Christ, right? He is our rest. And because he has completed the work of salvation, the atonement of the sins, he sacrificed his own life, he can now sit in the heavenly holy of holies. And because he rests, we rest, you see, because the work is done. It is completed, the work of the cross. When Jesus was on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is complete. It is not, Jesus did not say, okay, I got us this far. You take it from here. No, it's not a Jesus and religion. It's not a Jesus and rules and rituals. It's not a Jesus and do this and Jesus and doctrine. It is completed once and for all. The work of salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross. And because he's done it, he is our rest. We can rest because he's our high priest. He paid for our sins and we can rest. He is our Sabbath. I don't know. That's good news for me. Verse 1, let's read verse 1 into 2 so we get the context here. Now, this is the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated on the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. And so the great high priest, Jesus Christ, is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary. There that was created by God. No man has created heaven, only God himself. He created heaven and earth, and he created his place. And we see Jesus, he set the example of ministering. You know, the word minister is the word servant in the Greek. It is the word servant. And quite often, ministers who have this title minister, you know, or whatever title, they tend to want to be served rather than serve. So whoever has a title of minister should be the one to serve. And Jesus set the example of serving when he was here on earth. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give him his life a ransom for many. Jesus set the example of serving. Here we have the master, our Lord, the creator, washing the very feet that he created on the disciples. And disciples didn't know, wait, Lord, you washed my feet? Jesus humbled himself. But he continues daily, as we mentioned earlier, and here's the verse, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, therefore he, speaking of Christ, is also able to serve to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. To the uttermost. And that's his desire. His ministry now, okay, his ministry continues. We looked at the three tenets of save in the scripture, and you'll find save, being saved, and will be saved. We discussed this last week, right? Save, being saved, and will be saved. Three tenets. It's justification, sanctification, and glorification. That is the doctrine of save. People just worry about the justification. That's great, but sanctification is just as important, because ultimately you want to stand before the Lord in glorification. And that's what he does. This is the reason why he ministers. You think it stopped at the cross for you and I? No. We need him more. We don't need his prayers for salvation. We need his prayers to keep us in line with the Lord, in relationship with him, so that we can be sanctified as we live for the Lord. And so he does this now in the heavenly place, in the tabernacle, not an earthly tabernacle. Now, the earthly tabernacle was a copy of the things already in heaven. And when the Lord gave Moses those instructions in Exodus chapter 25 to 31, it was to give a picture. You'll see how detailed the instructions were as far as having cherubims on the panels of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. You know, the golden altar of incense, that's the closest piece of furniture to the Holy of Holies, by the way. And that's the altar where they would burn incense, which is prayer. The closest piece of furniture to the most powerful Ark of the Covenant is that altar of incense. That's why prayer is important. That's why Jesus said, my house would be a house of prayer. But everything was a picture of heaven. It was a picture, what was here earthly from Moses, all was a copy of something that already have existed in heaven. And there is where our Lord ministered. Let's look at verse 3. He goes on to say, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, speaking of Christ, this one also have something to offer. Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Now, on the earthly tabernacle, the priest would offer the gifts. You find that in the feast, and according to the law, according to what's written in scripture. But in heaven, in the true tabernacle, there the Lord has erected, not man, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, offered a better sacrifice, a superior sacrifice. And what was that sacrifice? Himself. No man could take my life, he says. I lay it down. He offered himself. Think about that. The creator of the universe, who created heaven and earth, before even existed, he has no beginning and no end. We cannot comprehend that. Maybe we get a little bit more understanding when we get to heaven. I like what Chuck Smith would say. It says, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be dumber than you are now. You're going to be a lot smarter. It's going to be an intuitive knowledge. You're going to know things. You're going to know things right off the bat. You're going to have the glorified body, obviously. You're going to have a glorified mind. And so you're going to be one with the Lord. You're going to know these things. But before that, we're talking about the creator of the universe laying down his life, leaving his throne in glory to take our place in Calvary. Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for the sins of the world. According to the old covenant, the law, you know, the sacrifice of animals would only cover sin. It only covered sin because they would have to do it again every year. The priest had to do it every day. You see, however, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin, doesn't cover it with sin. Never you find in the language you find in Christ as being the high priest laying down his life for us is not to cover sin, not to throw it under the rug, but to take away our sin. This is what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who covers our sin? No, takes away the sins of the world." And that's what he's done as high priest. Verse 5, he said, "Who served the copy and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said," the Lord said to him, "see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Build it exactly as I tell you." Exactly. And you know, it's more than just having a little tabernacle and where they could come in and seek the Lord, but it's to point to how heaven would be. I know to the children of Israel back then, they probably looked at the tabernacle and said, "Wow, this is beautiful. Gold and cherubims on the panel. It was the best tabernacle. It was a big tent, but that tent was better than all the other tents on the campus." Because it's to point to Jesus. And it points to the heaven of heavens. And so we have a great high priest. And what the writer of Hebrews is trying to relate to the Jewish believers who at this time were going through severe persecution. They found a new faith in Christ. They found that Jesus is the Mashiach, the Messiah. They were tempted to go back to the temple, to the high priest. And what he's trying to say to the Jewish believers, the first readers of Hebrews, and he's what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you and I, is that we believe and worship the real thing. We believe and worship the real God. That was a shadow. That was a copy. We worship the real thing who is in the real heaven. You know, we don't worship shadows. And you know, the Old Testament, again, was to give a picture of what would come. That's what Paul tells in Galatians. We don't worship the shadow. You know, when I come home, if I haven't been home for a long time and my wife wants to hug me and I come in, the sun is shining back on me and there's my shadow. She's not going to hug the shadow. My dogs don't do that, you know. She's not going to look at the pictures. "Oh, how you doing?" No, the actual thing. And so we worship the real priest, the high priest who is serving and doing his priestly ministry in the real heaven. Let's look at verse 6. He says, "But now he," Jesus, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant."
Hebrews 4:12 states, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Have you engaged with the idea of the Bible being like a sharp sword that cuts through all the rest of the nonsense and voices around you? The more you're in God's Word, the more you realize that there's truth, wisdom, and a discerning spirit that you're gifted with. What a treasure God has given us, His Word. There's so much to gain from the book of Hebrews, and we hope you're finding that to be the case in your personal walk with God. If you're enjoying what you're hearing and are curious to learn more about this ministry, head over to runningtheraceradio.com. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area, Jessica has an invitation for you.
We'd love to have you come join us at Calvary Chapel of Milford. We're conveniently located off Interstate 84 and Route 6. For service times and all the information you need, visit runningtheraceradio.com and click on the Back to Homepage button. While you're there, you can listen to this teaching again or explore more messages from Pastor Eddie. Again, that website is runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Running the Race is a radio ministry out of Calvary Chapel of Milford, where we desire to be changed and be more Christ-like every day. We're grateful for you. Did you know that? Thanks for being part of what's going on with Running the Race.